Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
As Christians, when we think about sharing our faith with our friends and family, we can feel unequipped, awkward, or guilty. And sometimes thinking about sharing our faith is as far as we get. And more often than not, we aren't engaged in sharing our faith regularly. When Jonah was asked to take God's word to Tarshish, he runs in the opposite direction, possibly fearful for his life from the barbaric Ninevites. But we learn in chapter 4 that he didn't want to be part of God's plan to rescue the Ninevites. We probably don't feel the same way that Jonah did about the people who need God's rescue, but it does appear that our mindset can be a major hindrance in our engagement with those who don't yet know Jesus and with sharing him. We can say we want to, we believe we have to, or we need to, but is sharing Jesus just as simple as riding a bike? Did we really ever learn to ride this bike? Maybe we don't feel like we have the time or the know-how, the relational capital, or the confidence to share Jesus. Whatever it is, though, however legitimate our concern, I wonder, what are we doing to overcome it? In this podcast, we're going to be thinking about some of the challenges to sharing Jesus and considering what we can do about it. My name's Johnny McLoone, and I'm the Witness Development Officer for the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. And today I'm joined with Darren and Joy Stevens, a husband and wife team who have been working with young people outside the church for a long time, and more recently have been leading a parachurch organization who are resourcing the church to share their faith more effectively. And as you'll hear by their accents, Americans that have been living in the UK long enough that it isn't as easy to place. Darren, Joy, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks for having us.
Guys, it would be great if just at the start, if you tell us a little bit more of how you got here, who's been on the journey, and a little bit about your organization.
Yeah, I mean, you will hear straight away, we are not originally from the UK and our American accents haven't shifted that much over 20 years. But yeah, Joy and I were invited to join a youth team at a church in Oxfordshire. And we were really drawn by the opportunity to work with young people from outside the church. And so, yeah, that we came over in 2003 and started doing local ministry and really loved the opportunity to work in the schools and to work in the community. I wouldn't say we felt like we were very good at sharing our faith, but we knew we would have to learn quickly. So, some days I think I actually am like Jonah and Nineveh and running the opposite way. But no, we knew we had to learn. And we've learned loads. We're still learning. And I think one of the big things we learned is that we're pretty good at gathering young people. And I think by and large, the church is quite good at gathering people. So, you know, through schools work, like I mentioned, or running drop-ins, we could build relationships with young people, and they would actually respond to our invitations to explore faith. But we found out pretty quickly that it felt like they would mostly sit and listen politely, but it felt like we were answering questions they weren't even asking. And we grew more and more frustrated with that feeling of, oh, I've got all this good information, but they're not asking that question. And it felt like the gospel didn't feel like good news to them because they weren't really even looking for God. And definitely didn't feel guilty about breaking God's laws. And so we found out we had to find some new starting points. And we found out we weren't going to logic young people into the gospel, A, B, to C. And yeah, we had to figure out some new ways, which I think we'll talk about a bit later. But that's kind of how we got to the position we're in now.
Our nonprofit is called Start to Stir, and we are just a startup. So we've been going for about a year, and we're really excited about the take up and where God is working in churches all around the UK. And people are starting to stir up curiosity in the gospel, which is what we're going to talk about next, I think.
Well, that's great to hear. And you've been so working in this area of sharing faith and evangelism with young people who don't know Jesus for a long time. We're hearing a lot from people that actually they lack the confidence to share Jesus. Does that resonate from your experience as one of the main things that's holding us back? And what can we do about it? Is there something else that we can tap into?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely think that people lack confidence. It's definitely one of the biggest factors that's holding people back. But at the same time, we really do believe that deep down, we think people really do want to share their faith. I know that people feel a lot of guilt around it, but there's something in us that just comes alive when we get a chance to talk with someone, even if it's briefly, about our Savior. And so yeah, there is that longing inside, and there is that thirst for it. But I think one of the bigger problems is we have a lot of unhelpful pictures of what successful evangelism is. So we hear a lot of stories from the front and from the pulpit, and of people who have the ability to pr approach strangers on a train and have a conversation where someone goes from an atheist to a Christian, and the half an hour it takes to get this train ride finished. And or we hear about professionals, people who work for the church, who get to wear a dog collar, and how they can walk into spaces and interact with people and share the gospel and quote C.S. Lewis and all these things that people, lay people, in the pews just don't feel like they have the ability to have. So what part of what we're doing at Start to Stir is saying maybe we need to do quite a bit more celebrating the person who says, I walked alongside my neighbor for the last 2 years, and these are some of the steps I took, and I saw her come to faith. We need to share more of those stories, and we need to take on a new mindset that evangelism is a process, and we need to train ourselves to be part of that process rather than seeing it only as a one point in time encounter where we have to get all of our truth out in 1 3-minute explanation. Like that's what we've trained ourselves in for a lot of years and told ourselves that that is successful evangelism. And there sometimes is a place for that. But as our culture gets more and more removed from having any residue of the Jesus story in it, we are going to have to take on this pacing mindset and walk alongside people and see evangelism as a process. We also need to have some new starting points. And yeah, I think exploring that together will be really interesting.
That's helpful. It's helpful just helping us to figure out what we think about in terms of why is our confidence not there. Maybe you could help us join us a couple of other dots, because as we sort of think about sharing our faith with those around, we're hearing some few different things. We're hearing that people are more spiritually open than they were before, and even some research here in Northern Ireland that apparently, one in three non-Christians would come to church if we invited them. But yet, we seem to feel around us that there's so much apathy to the church and to our faith. And we know that the church has lost significance in society, but even that hostility is failing, and so is our relevance. There's a Talking Jesus report that said that 60% of people didn't want to know more about Jesus after talking with a Christian. So how do we marry those things together? What are we supposed to do with them? And what do we need to change? Can you help us out?
Johnny, I was hoping you could help us out. Yeah, I mean, it actually, first off, that blows my mind, the one-third statistic. So, and the research from Northern Ireland is that one-third of people around us would respond positively to an invitation to go to church.
Yeah, that's what was coming back through like an Evangelical Alliance sort of research study and report, and it's how do we marry that with what we feel, suppose.
Yeah, I mean, because that's where I think the Talking Jesus report statistic of that 60% that you mentioned, of they surveyed a non-Christian who had a Christian friend share faith with them, but maybe it wasn't a friend, but had a Christian share faith with them. And the question to the non-Christians was, would you want to hear more about Jesus? And 60% said no. And that's what caught our eye. And I understand why we're leading with the positive statistics. I understand why we're leading with the, hey, one out of five of the people around you does want to hear more about Jesus, or one out of three for Northern Ireland would respond to an invitation to come to church. But I do feel like that 60% don't want to hear more. It's our experience with young people, fits my experience as I try to speak with my neighbors. And it really, like you said, Johnny, I don't feel like it's hostility. I don't feel by and large people are against faith, you will meet those people who have an axe to grind. So, and we all have met those people. But yeah, I think more and more it's just that apathy. And it's great for you. It's great that you found faith. It's great that it works for you, but I'm not interested in it. I'm not in the market for faith or in the market for God at this point.
Yeah, sometimes it sounds like, well, there might be a God, but I'm not really sure why it would matter. They're open. That might be a possibility, but I really can't see. That's relevance, isn't it? A relevance issue of I can't see any difference it would make for me. How could it make my life better? That's actually what they're asking.
Yeah, I mean, we could tell a long story. I'll try to say it short, but we got to know the dad of one of the young people we were reaching out to, and he actually responded to our invitation to join a little small Bible study that my friend and I were doing, which is like, whoa, I can't believe he agreed to that. And it was amazing. He came week after week, and he actually would read the Bible. And then we'd get to the part where we'd say, like, well, what stuck out to you, or what did you find interesting, or what questions did you have? And week after week, he would just kind of shrug his shoulders and say, I didn't really get a whole lot out of that. And finally, after a while, I met up for coffee with him and just said, hey, I can tell you're not getting a lot out of it. So can I just cut straight to the point and ask, do you feel like you need God? And I'll call him Colin. That's not his real name, but my friend Colin said, and I can still see it. He kind of said, no. And it sounds like a business transaction, but yeah, I'd have to see why would it make my life better. And from the outside, it's like, oh man, we can see the needs in your life and we can see how God can help you on so many levels, but it just wasn't clicking at all for him. And I feel like we could tell that story over and over and over again.
Yeah, it almost feels like we're going back to some of that stuff you were saying at the start about it answering questions that people aren't answering and having information that just isn't resonating and isn't making a is isn't sort of catching somebody's attention.
Yeah, and I think because, especially with young people, and I think the general population, because the culture is more and more removed from any experience with God, very little experience with the church or even the main themes of the Bible, we can't start with Jesus and start with, hey, you can have a relationship with God. You can be made right with God because Jesus died for our sins. And all that is true and all that is amazing. But we can't always start there because, yeah, people don't even have a consciousness of God yet.
There's actually sort of something that sort of is speaking to me about those two statistics that we're talking about. It's the 1 in 3 or the 1 in 5 in your context that will come if we invite them, and the 60%, which is the 6 out of 10, who don't want to hear more after we've taken our shot. And it's almost the realization of that whenever we're getting an opportunity, we're not doing the best job with it, and it's not going the way we want to. It's not creating the opportunity for the next conversation or to go deeper or to explore things.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is because we have a few harvesting tools in our pockets, but we don't have any planting tools in our pocket, and the cultivating that it takes along.
Cultivating tools, especially.
Yeah, so we're leading Start to Stir because we want to help the church in this early evangelism area of how do you cultivate and stir up spiritual curiosity and start to get those conversations going in the first place.
Well, you guys have this line that if we've come across you before, read something, we've probably picked up on this idea of stirring spiritual curiosity. It seems to be very much at the core of Start to Stir. So tell us a little bit more about that. What is that stirring spiritual curiosity doing in the process of sharing faith evangelism? You've talked about those different sort of farming analogies there. And how is it helping people decide what's true in life for them?
Well, I mean, this again is coming out of that place of getting frustrated with answering questions that people weren't asking, and knowing that we need a new starting point. So, in our context, one of the tools that we've created is starting with identity. And we believe every human being is a spiritual being. That's what the Bible teaches us. And now I know some people get a little bit nervous when you hear the word spiritual and why would Christians be talking about that? But I just would want to say right up front, when we're talking with people, very quick to define what we mean by spiritual. And we'd say it just means that you have a spirit or you have a soul.
You are more than a body and a brain. As a human being, your identity, you are more than a body and a brain. You have a soul.
Yeah, so that's one of the starting points that we're really working on. And rather than trying to prove through logic and evidence and rational reasoning that there's a God out there, we're trying to turn it around and say, actually, there's some things that God's put inside you that point to him. They serve as clues or signposts that he's there. And we all have these spiritual longings, these clues inside of us. And we're learning to stir those up to the surface in our conversations with people and point at them when appropriate, when we're pacing along with someone and saying, I see in you that you long to be known by someone bigger than yourself. Or when they have an experience of having prayed, we would point out and say, I see that you at times, look outside of yourself for help. Well, if we're only a body and brain, if we're only chemicals who are trying to compete to the advantage of beating all the rest of each other in our DNA, if we're nothing more than chemicals, why? Why do we look for help outside of ourselves? So we've learned to stir some of the spiritual longings that are in all of us up to the surface and point them out and say, those are clues that there's a God out there and that there's something in you that's longing for him.
Yeah, and we've been practicing this for a long time. So it's something that we've had to work on and work on looking for those opportunities and what kind of questions to ask. But I think for me, even from the start, I kind of had to be, is this even okay? Like, is it okay to start there? And I think it's really interesting. I'm sure several of the listeners will already be here in their minds. But if you look in Acts 17 and Paul. I mean, we won't go through the whole discourse, but it's really interesting if you turn to Acts 17, it feels like that's the turning point for Paul where he finally, we know he went out as a missionary, but he kind of started in the synagogues and he started with the God-fearing Jews. But in Acts 17, he's finally going out into the public square, into the marketplace. And you see him start from a very different starting point with a Gentile audience than a Jewish audience, because the Jews were looking for Messiah. The Gentiles weren't, and you guys will all have to look at it yourselves. But he starts with basically a very, even your poets say that in him or in this God, this higher power, we live and move and have our being. So he starts a lot further back, and he mentions Jesus, but it's kind of like a polite nod to this man who God was going to send, and then he moves on. So yeah, I think we found a lot of like, okay, we're not off the rails to start with something like spirituality or spirit and soul. And yeah, we just want to say from the start, our desire is that people find fullness of life through Jesus Christ and forgiveness of their sins and start a relationship with God that can only happen through Jesus. So that's the goal. That's the trajectory. We're just saying because of where people around us are starting from, I think we have to start further back and answer the why question. Why should I think about God? Why should I think about faith? And we can say, well, the why is because actually you're already wired that way, even though you don't know it yet. But let's help you kind of uncover some of that and guide you through that.
That's amazing. And I think, as you say, whenever you've got those experiences of seeing how the people you're sharing faith with are not responding in the way that maybe you hope that they would, to sort of uncover potentially a different way to come at this, but also see that it's not that it's new for us now, but just to find that and see that that's how God was using people in scripture. To sort of go, actually, that resonates there as well. We can see that God has created space for this to be the way that He reveals Himself and the way that faith is shared through people of all times and all cultures and all generations. And we're just figuring out what that looks like now.
Yeah, and I mean, you can even go back 1,000 years before Paul, and Solomon in Ecclesiastes writes God has set eternity in the hearts of men. It is that. And we're not the first ones to say this, but God's made us in a way that we wonder about these things and we long for things that the material world cannot satisfy. And that's part of our DNA. So we're just saying, well, let's start with what God's already put in there and try to bubble that up to the surface a bit and start from that point.
Do you have any examples of how that sort of you've seen that work itself out as people are realizing, do you know what, some of these things are true? Yeah, I do have this longing. And how does that happen? How does that walk through? Where do you go for it next?
Yeah, I mean, I can think of a really recent, and so this is just a very starting conversation, and then maybe we can talk more. We'll see what time we have. But so our neighbors got together not that long ago, and kind of for drinks and nibbles, and we just recently moved on to a new street, so we're just starting to get to know everybody, and somehow the word got out. So Joy and I, part of our job is leading the youth ministry out of our church, as well as leading Start to Stir. So somehow the word had gotten out before we moved in that we were God people or church people. I don't know. About halfway through this little dinner thing, I was sat next to one of my neighbors and he was chatting. He goes, "Well, I'm not religious." It's like, okay, we've all gotten that before, right? Well, before that, he had just spent a lot of time talking about how he's kind of one of his hobbies is looking at astrophysics and the universe and all this. I'm like, oh man, I'm way out of my depth right from the beginning of that conversation. But I was just able to go back to that and say, you're not religious, but you're really curious about what's out there. I wonder if would you say that you are spiritual? And he's like, oh, now that's a good question. I want to think about that some more. Yeah. Well, yeah, because I think there are some things that have happened to me that I can't quite explain rationally. And I want to know what that's about. So maybe we should grab a coffee and talk about that some more later. I love it because rather than shutting down conversations, or it's like you said, Johnny, I threw my one thing out there and it landed flat and I don't know where else to go. It feels like this opens up conversations.
Well, I think this leads us quite well into thinking about, well, where does this sort of idea and this sort of approach, I suppose, that we're talking about, we're hoping that people might grasp onto and incorporate into their own sort of ideology of, well, what does it mean for me to share faith at the with people that I meet at the school gate, or the people that I do my local shopping with, or my local sports club? Where do you think that this idea fits in with our sort of culture in the 21st century and with the life of an everyday Christian? I think it was really helpful, Joy, that you had said, like, we sometimes look at the pros and the professionals and we're like, that's not us. So how does that fit for the everyday Christian who wants to share their faith, wants to share the relationship that they have with Jesus and the impact that it's had on their life?
Yeah, so I think we've got to go back and get that new mindset of I'm going to pace alongside with people. So just very practically, if you want to start sharing your faith more or decide in the year ahead, that's what a goal of mine, start praying for three people that you know that God will be work, because first God's got to stir in them alongside of any creative thing that we can say or prompt that we can give. So start praying right now for three people, and then yeah, I think you're just looking to love them as people. And so my friend who is like really into the environment, she drives from grocery store to grocery store so she can buy fruit at places that don't have plastic
She
packaging.
probably cycles from
She
grocery store.
does. She does. Yeah. So really, really committed to the environment. What a beautiful thing. So, can I get to a place where I can say to her, I see in you this longing for the world to be right, for the world to be healthy and clean, and I just wonder where that longing comes from. And I think it shows that you long for knowing God, for knowing that His world is right and well and healthy and just. I think pointing out, I see in you this longing that the world is a just place. And so it's looking for things like that, that God is already doing in them, values that they have that are already godly values, and trying to stir them up to the surface. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think then it's that pacing, it's seeing evangelism as a process. Stirring. And then I do think it is still being intentional. I think that's the worry too when you hear about this. And well, let's just take our time. I still think we have to be really intentional. I don't think people who don't know God and don't know Jesus are going to lead themselves. Yeah, the way God's worked mission out is he wants to involve us and he wants to use us. So I think as you stir, it's also looking for those opportunities to say, I think that longing shows you really do want to know God. And can I introduce him to you? Can I introduce you to God? And as I do, we're going to find out that Jesus is really important. If you want to know God, Jesus is the best place to start because he was fully human, fully God, and he's also the one who took our place and can take us to God. So again, it's having that end goal in mind, but being patient and being aware of where the person is starting from. So I think this mindset and the stirring is really relevant because I think we can all do it. We all can do this. We can all take the little steps. And for me, it's really more about a willingness of God, am I willing to let you interrupt my day and interrupt my to-do list? Am I going to live today looking for opportunities? And I think when I live that way, it's amazing how many more opportunities I have. And then when you're living with that mindset, with your antenna up, I think if we just have a few more tools, knowing where the culture's at, that people are a bit further back and how to start a bit further back, I think once they're curious, a lot of us as Christians know all the right answers from that point on. It's just if they're not, how can we add a few more tools to help get them to that point?
That's really helpful. And I think that one of the things that certainly has stood out to me is the relational element of this, that this is not something that you can kind of do from the sidelines. And as you say, Joy, even as you're praying for people in particular, and as you're trying to notice what their longings are and share about your friend with her love for the environment, you don't know those things from the sidelines. You've got to get alongside people to see how who they are, what makes them tick, in order to be able to respond to them. And I think as we often sort of forget to bring the people who we want God to transform our lives, we forget to bring them to God in prayer. And actually, as we do, as we spend time in those spaces, God will reveal things as well and give us prompts for things to talk to. And we hopefully, as you say, Darren, can go on that journey of stimulating these curiosities that will lead us to a place where we're talking about Jesus together and growing in that.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much for your time today. You've told us a little bit about the organization. We've talked more about the idea today. If people want to find out a bit more about your organization and the resources you have, what's the best way for them to do that, and what might they want to do first?
You can visit our website, starttostir.com, and we have a video resource on there if you and your small group would like to explore some ideas around that we've talked about today in a small group setting. There's that resource available. And then we have the Stir course, which is to be used with a group of people that maybe you've already gathered in your church and you're trying to help change it from a social group into some spiritual content into the group. For the first time, then the STIR course is that early evangelism, relational pacing along with people. So, yeah, starttostir.com is the best place to go. We're also on Instagram where we do a little bit of training of how to have conversations, what to say to keep conversations going, and so forth. And you can find us at Start to Stir there as well.
Yeah, and one of the sessions in that 8-part video series is just very practical. Here's what stirring conversations look like, where we unpack a lot of real life conversations we have on the dog walk or with a neighbor or at the school gate. And just tons of questions, tons of stirring questions and how you can respond to questions as well.
Well, we want to commend you guys and encourage people to do that. And also, if you're on the Presbyterian Church in Ireland website /stir, you'll find there's a wee bit more information from us about the things that we're doing with these guys. And Darren and Joy, you guys are both going to come and join us at the end of January in 2025.
Yeah, we're coming. We'd love to meet you.
Well, you come for a couple of days, so couple events on there, please take a look. And if it's something that interests you, or you know somebody who you think should be there, we would love for you to encourage them to be there. And as Darren said, we'd love to spend some time with you then as well.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.